You are listening to TCM Talkback.
The sun won't set, the sun won't rise, but it seems like I'm barely getting by with a crushing weight that I keep piling on. You know, alone I just can't stand, cause you see me and know who I am, and then you, Lord, you know.
Walker, how are you today?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. Just a little tired, getting off work, kind of chill out. Looking forward to talking to you. So, that's what's going on with me. What's going on with you? Where are you guys today? Are you guys out on the road?
No, we're at home. We're in Nashville, Tennessee, and actually just got some chicken and gonna eat dinner here in a little bit. Nice little salad. So,
all right, cool.
Yeah, I just call y'all.
I just came home from Buffalo Wild Wings. I got off work. Yeah. Do they have Motown South?
Oh yeah, I love Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay, I know they're like located in, they're headquartered in like Ohio or something. So I wasn't sure if our northern restaurants got down to southern parts of Nashville and whatnot. But thanks so much for calling in. I won't keep you that long because I don't want to keep you from dinner that long. Don't feel rude. Don't feel rude if you start crunching chicken while we're talking. I'm totally a daughter guy. But your album, Come to the River, kind of came out of the blue for me. Normally, I like to kind of keep my ear to the ground and know the new voices, but I get a lot of albums that come across my desk, and so I generally don't listen to the radio. So if I had been listening to the radio, I might have heard, you know, one of the songs on the radio prior to the album showing up on my doorstep a day before it came out. So I'm like, oh,
wow.
Yeah, that's not normal. I guess the record label got a little behind, so I threw it in. I was like, okay, we'll check them out, see what they sound like. And fell in love with the sound. I love Southern Rock. So, and I'm a big Third Day fan. I'm sure you'll hear a lot of those comparisons, obviously. I don't think
you
are Third Day. But you know, they're the one Christian Southern rock band that I can point to other than yourselves now.
Dude, so, I love Third Day, so it's all good.
Yeah, it's me too. I've been to so many of their concerts. Every time they hit Michigan, which is where I live, I go to their concerts. So I called a friend when I heard your album. I was like, man, I hope these guys go on tour with Third Day. That would just be so much Southern rock in one night, it'd be too much. Third Day,
yeah, well,
Red Walker Band, and maybe Lynyrd Skynyrd. That'd be great.
It'll have to happen. We got the same record label, so same A&R guy, so it'll have to happen.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully, you and Mac Powell can do some stuff on the stage together. That'd be great. Since you are new, I mean, you're new to the Christian world. I mean, at least in terms of, you know, being on a major record label. When the album came across my desk, I had never heard of you. I was like, okay, this guy, gave it a chance, loved it. But since a lot of people probably don't know who you are at this point, why don't you take a few minutes to kind of talk about, you know, who are the Rhett Walker Band? I don't know how to say that sentence properly. talk about the Rhett Walker Band, how to get started, where are you guys from, what's going on?
Yeah, we're just a couple dudes, you know, they're just sinners singing about grace. And we're all from, you know, this area, Nashville, where this is where we met. We all kind of come from all over originally, but just met through church. I was a worship leader, and the guy that plays drums, he was in the church that I was at and just playing, and same with the guitar player. And it just kind of, we built this relationship, I guess, outside of music, and kind of became friends and started hanging out and doing stuff and writing. And I put out an EP, and those guys would come out and play shows with me, and so it just kind of built over friendship. We expressed, you know, we had the same visions and same dreams for this, and that was what they felt called to do. So we just figured, hey, let's all just put our heads together and go after it.
Okay. So I'm taking it. I mean, you have to be the lead singer because, you know, the band is named after you. How do you guys how do you land on a band name that's named after yourself? Do you feel like weird at all with the name, you know, the name of the band being your name?
No, the main reason for that was I've been doing it for years, and I had an EP that was out, and was traveling, doing a lot of stuff. So there was a part of us that was like, well, I've already started this following, and I don't want them people just to think I Fell Off the Earth, and we have started this new, you know, record as, under a new band, and half of the fans are like, well, what happened to Rhett? So just kind of, we just kind of meshed it in. Like, it was me, these guys jumped on board, and we just kept going. Full throttle going. So.
Okay, so you've been going for a little while then. Talk about how, yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't think any band just, I don't think you picked up the guitar on Tuesday, and on Wednesday morning, you had a record deal with Essential Records. I don't think that's how it happened. Talk a little bit about how your career that you were working on prior to this record deal, talk about how that was going and then how you kind of came into meeting up with the guys at the record label.
Yeah, when I put out that EP, Blaine Barkus, who is the A&R guy, Essential, he got a copy of it somehow, and me and my wife had just been in Nashville for like 4 years, and I get an email from Sony Essential Records, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. You know, we'd only been here like 6 months at that time, and I was like, babe, I told you. I was like, this is a lot easier than people said it was. You know, we've only been here 6 months. And, so I go meet with Blaine Barkus and sit down in his office. He's like, man, I love the sound. I'm like, thanks, man. You know, what else we want to talk about? And I was trying to get to it. And he was like, you wrote all these songs, right? And I was like, yep. He was like, cool, I like the direction. Keep writing. And I was like, keep writing? And he was like, yeah, like, well, what do you want me to do when I'm done writing? He was like, keep writing some more. So I was like, all right. So we, that's how I left that day. I left and called my wife and said, baby, said, keep writing. And that's what we're going to do. And, you know, just started playing shows, and he kept up, and he would email me every now and then, send me writers. He sent me this guy named Alan Salmon, who wrote half of the record with me, or you know, the first three songs on the record, and sent me a guy named Jeff Pardo, who I wrote When Mercy Found Me and Brother with, and he was just kind of setting me up with the right people and getting me in the doors. And I always told him, I said, man, if you open up one door for me, I'll kick down the next three. There's just some that I can't, with nobody knowing who I am, open. And
right.
He was really helpful with that. And I was writing every day, you know, every single day of the week, sometimes twice a day. And I wrote right at 50-something songs for this record. And
wow.
And so I texted him and told him we had this show with a lot of new stuff and would love for him to come out. And my manager was there, and he came out at that time and told Mo, my manager, afterwards, said, I get it. You know, this is what I've been waiting on. This is what we've been working towards. I'll call you Monday. Just put on a lot of hard work, you know, and people think this stuff, for some reason, they think it happens overnight. And when it finally starts rolling, it feels like it does. But, you know, it was a lot of hard work and a lot of time that me and my wife and kids spent, you know, just praying and hoping. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, and still do know, that this is what I'm called to do. So it's a lot of just really trusting in Jesus and saying, you know, God, this is in your hands.
Right.
I know I'm doing what you called me to do, so please help it happen sometime soon.
So now, I mean, you're married with kids, and I mean, you said that a few times as we've been talking. So that obviously changes the dynamic for a lot of people who go on tour. I'm actually looking at your website right now as we're speaking, and I'm looking at the tour you're about to kind of embark on. You're about to hit the road on July 26th. And pretty much don't stop until the end of October, you know, right before you get into the holiday season in November and December. And that's assuming that you don't have more dates in November that just aren't on the website right now.
Yeah,
so,
we've got more in November and December that we're
okay.
Finishing up settling. So.
So how do you, I mean, you've obviously probably toured a little bit before you got signed. Now you're kind of on this big tour going out with Cutlass and Firelight in September and October. Are you anticipating any major changes in terms of touring life because of family at home and now probably going further away from them? This is less regional for you. I don't know if you were doing all regional tours,
that,
but now you're
going
around the United States.
Yeah, that is the big change. We stayed on the road a lot. I always have, and so it's become second nature. But now, it's more than it has been a long time. This past couple months, I've been home probably 3 days,
okay, wow.
put to sleep in the bed probably 3 days, and But my wife, man, I don't know if she if she's just crazy or if she just loves me that much. Either way, I'll take it. But man, she knows what God's called us to do, and we'll fight for that all day long. And there's been times, you know, when, like we were talking about earlier, kind of getting this towards this record, then I was like, oh, I really don't want to go write today. I've been writing all week, and I just don't feel like writing. And she said, she'd sit me down and be like, hey, were you called to do this or not? So either go out there and work, or, you know, let's figure out something else to do. And so she lights the fire under my butt a lot of times, but we're also pregnant. We got our third kid on the way, and it's due in October.
Wow.
So we're trying to figure that out. And so there will be a lot of changes, but she knows, like I do, one thing that I've always made a rule for me and the band is when you're home, you're home. I don't care if your best friend's in town. When we get off the road, you go home to your wife and to your kids, and you do that, and you do nothing else, and you pick right up where you left off. And doing that and intentionally, you know, being husband and being father 150% right when you get home, you know, it makes things just go super smoothly. And but you got to have wives that are built for it, man. Mine is, and she takes care of the house while I'm gone, and you know, it's just a whole different world than the 9-to-5 world.
So you're about to be on the road. You're going to be on the road in October too. I hope you're. What happens if your wife has a baby like while you're on the road? What happens? Do you like fly home and not play those dates, or how does that work?
Well, most of them are all in like right near airports, so we're trying to work out a deal right now where I can have a ticket that I can just kind of hang around and jump on a plane that, you know, whichever city I'm in. And what my wife told me is I'm gonna try to make it home. I'm gonna be an intentional father and try to make it home. But if I'm 5 minutes late, the baby won't know. But the baby will know if I can't feed her. So, we'll try our hardest. It's just a scary situation. We'll figure it out when it happens.
and God is good, right? So I'm sure.
Yeah, God's the giver of life, so He already knows.
So you're about to be on tour. You're used to being on tour. Obviously, this is going to be less regional than before. So you're going to be touring all around the United States. But you're also touring with some pretty big name bands, bands that are well established in the Christian rock market. And you got Cutlass, you got Firefly, and then, you know, you're also, you know, partnering with Compassion International. Who, I mean, if you're a Christian, or even if you're non-Christian, you know who Compassion International is.
Mm-hmm.
So are you kind of preparing yourself for being in front of larger audiences that you've never been in front of before? Or is that kind of like scary, or are you just like, just bring it on, world?
Nah, that's when we thrive, man. We're a rock and roll band, dude, and we just have fun. But I grew up in the church. My dad's a pastor, and so my main thing is people, just people in general. I love meeting people. I love hanging out with people. The bigger the crowd, the funner the party for me. And I just love people. I think they're fun. I think we're all just messed up people, you know, just trying to make it through this world. And when we find Christ, that's when we find happiness. And so being able to have these shows with other brothers and sisters in Christ, dude, it's just going to be one big party every night when we're on stage. So I can't wait. I'm just counting down the days to go out and party with these guys.
Okay, so now, again, I touched on the fact that you're a Southern rock band, which, again, Third Day has been kind of hit in CCM. There have been other Southern rock bands in mainstream music, but in Christian music, it's pretty much been Third Day for the last few years. And then in my review, I said, you know, I've always wondered what's going to happen when they hang up, you know, when, you know, Third Day hangs up the microphone. Because, you know, they're getting older, you know, they have their families, and, you know, a lot of bands eventually call it a day. And I heard your music, and I was like, well, there's my answer. The Rhett Walker Band will definitely fill that void. Why that particular sound? Were you already playing Southern rock before you became the Rhett Walker Band? Was it just something that all four of you guys agreed upon and just happened to like that sound? How did your sound evolve to that Southern rock, rootsy rock sound?
It just kind of happened. I'm from Georgia, South Carolina area originally, and so I grew up listening to bands like 38 Special and Skynyrd and Marshall Tucker Band and even Third Day. And so when I write, I just put pen to paper and just kind of start with melodies and lyrics. And I mean, that's just really what came out. We never really sat down and said, let's be Southern rock or rock. You know, we just, I mean, that's just what comes naturally for us. Which review did you do? Who'd you run it for?
You're actually interviewing with a website right now called The Christian Manifesto. Some people know about it, some people don't. I pretty much talked.
Yeah, but what were, you said you reviewed the album.
Yeah. The website
was it
is
on
called
Christian Manifesto?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The front page.
I'll have
that's
where
I retweeted it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well,
I gave
I
it a 5 out of 5.
I think I remember you saying the line in there, what happens when Third Day hangs up, just like you just said. And that's why I was like, wait, I read that review.
Yep, I wrote that review. That's I run that site. And the interesting thing is, I don't generally give 5 out of 5s. If you go through our site, we don't have a lot of them. And so when I heard it, I was like, oh, this is, obviously I listened to the whole thing. I didn't just, you know, give it a 5 out of 5 based on one song and walked away. But the whole album I just thought was, you know, stellar from beginning to end. And yeah, so I'm glad that you guys are around.
I check out all our reviews, even the bad ones. I didn't put it together. Dude, thanks for writing a great review.
Hey, no problem. No problem at all. Now you know who we are. So 2 years from now when you guys write your next review, or when you guys write your next album, put it out, you'll know who I am. And I'll probably meet you on October 27th because it looks like you're playing in Lansing, Michigan. So I'll probably stop by and say hello. Talk a little bit about the album, then I'll let you go. I don't want to keep you too long again. You got chicken getting cold. But the album's been out now for about a week, a little over a week now, or a week exactly today, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Today. Okay. What's been the initial response? Besides my review, obviously, a glowing review, what's been the response from fans and you know, thoughts that are rolling in?
Dude, it's been overwhelming, and I just feel super blessed. I woke up Tuesday morning, and it was at number 2 on Christian iCharts albums.
Wow.
And I was like, what in the world? This means more people than my mom bought this album. And so, you know, I was just thrilled, man, and the comments that are coming in and the Facebook messages that are coming in. I mean, really the only word is, not to sound cliche or anything, but really the word is blessed, man. I mean, dude, we got a freaking album out all across America and touching places that we couldn't by ourselves. You know, people are able to hear this message, which is my life, of what God has done in it and the grace and the mercy that I received despite who I was as a person. And so it's just amazing. I mean, I've just kind of been sitting back this whole week thinking, you know, I can't believe this is something I've always dreamed about, and now I'm living in it. And we're also getting messages that people are coming to know the Lord through conversations that are sparked from this album. And, you know, if there's any reason we did the album, you know, I feel like we've done exactly what we're called to do just for that one person. So it's amazing, man.
Okay. Now, just 2 more questions, I'll let you go. The songs on the album, obviously, I hesitate to ask people the question of pick your favorite song, because it's like saying pick your favorite kid, which is just mean to do. Talk about a couple of songs on the album that you really like, or that are it's surprising you that it's having so much meaning for people that are writing in about it.
Well, When Mercy Found Me is the first single, and I was glad that was the first single, because that was one of the last songs written for the record, and the guy I sat down with to write it, I told him, I said, dude, I want to write something blatantly obvious that is my testimony of this is who Rhett was, this is who Rhett is, and this is who Rhett's striving to be, and just wear my heart on my sleeve, basically, and talk about the fact that I lived a crazy life. Me and my girlfriend, who's now my wife of 8 years, got pregnant when we were 17, and just show that hard life that we live, so that whoever's going through that can also find God's grace, or maybe it'll spark some interest in them where they can go searching or head to a church or call somebody. And so that's my testimony in a song. And to hear people write back, or see them write back, I guess, and read it, that's their testimony, or that God's using that in their life. That, I mean, that really is amazing, that me, a part of my life that I messed up insanely, and wrote a song about it, and God takes me as a little old messed up person, and he's so big and mighty and powerful that he uses it for his good. I mean, that, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's what the church body's called to do, is just to, you know, carry on another brother's burdens and to live life. And I feel like that's what this record's doing with some people. We're just all living life together. I mean, I'm Rhett Walker from Rhett Walker Band. The band's there. We ain't got our lives all together. We're just trying to make it through. And, you know, we know who Christ is, and that's the foundation that we stand on.
Okay. Now let's say a Rhett Walker Band is, you know, around for a long time. And I'm hoping with this sound that you are. Let's say 10, 15, 20 years from now, what do you want? And I'm asking this for a specific reason, because like 10, 15, 20 years from now, if you're still around and my site is still around, I'll be interviewing you then. What would you want young Rhett Walker now, to continue to remember, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now? What would young Rhett Walker say to old Rhett Walker and hope that Rhett Walker of the future would take?
I would say the three main things that we started this whole thing off on better be what I'm still remembering. Remember where you came from. Faith, family, and country is what we stand on. The fact that I'll always stand up for my faith, I'll always love and take care of my family, and I'll always stand up for this country and what it was founded on. And that's what I never want to get away from. You know, where I came from, a little small southern town, you know, scared, broken on my knees with a baby on the way before my senior year of high school, to now here with a record, and then 15, 20 years later, no matter where I'm at, I always want to remember that and where I came from and the love that people showed and the time that people took to help get me back on track.
Okay. That's a great answer. I love that. And, you know, 15, 20 years from now, I'm going to hold you to it. Is that okay?
Dude, please do. Man, dude, that's another thing. That's what we are. That's what we're called to do. Just, you know, help each other out, man.
Well, Rhett, thank you so much. You've been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Hopefully I'll get to meet you face-to-face and just kind of give you a face to go with the name and shake your hand.
Sure.
And thank you personally for putting out such a great album. I love this stuff, and I'm looking forward to what you put out in the future.
Dude, thank you so much, man. Thanks for taking the time talking to me.
No problem. Have a great night. That this world is leaving me dry. And I know this. I feel like my hands are tied and they're bound together with strands of lies and these.